Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for the blood covenant that you made with each one of us. And because of the precious blood covenant, O God, we stand before you in the righteousness of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that all that is available to the Lord Jesus when he was on this earth is available to us through Jesus Christ and by the power of his name and by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that in each one of us, the blessings of Abraham are fulfilled, and all the families of the earth will be blessed, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for such is the blessings of Abraham, Lord. We ask, O God, that you will cause faith to ignite. We ask, O God, that you will establish grace and mercy and hope and faith and love in our midst, O God. We thank you, Father, that you establish each one of our lives that we may grow in you from grace to grace and glory to glory. Thank you, Father God. We ask that your word be like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and that we may know and discern, O God, your voice, your will, your power, your spirit. Thank you, Father God, that you will take every thought captive unto Jesus Christ. And we release, O God, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we have authority over all the nations of the earth, and we proclaim the name of Jesus as Lord over all the corners of the earth, O Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we rule and reign on this earth in Jesus' name and in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Let the power of the Spirit be released in our midst, O God, as we consider your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen. Praise God. The Lord has given a special word, especially as we look towards the transition to the new church premises on June the 2nd. And many, many things that the Lord has spoken to my heart, things to do and priorities to emphasize on throughout the next 2 years as I waited upon the Lord during this past month. And you will probably be interested in some of them. Among some of those things are different priorities and things to emphasize. And the Lord has given sometimes a mandate to do different things, like what we are doing in the, like what we have been doing in the care group. And also one of those things that we will be organizing once we move into the new place and complete the renovation project on all the details. One of the next phases that we will be organizing is a very intricate bus system. Transport system for church members to come from all over the Klang Valley to the new church premises. Amen? Praise God. So that will be one of our targets and goals that we'll be implementing even after the move to the new place. So there are certain priorities and certain things and directions that God has been speaking, and we would like to consider some of them. But first of all, first and foremost, the Lord has called to proclaim a fast. It's important in the transition that we seek God together as a church and we fast together corporately as a church. Now, as we look into a corporate fast, remember that in a corporate fast, there are different ones of us with different ability to fast and seek the Lord. And so some of us may be able to go on a one-meal fast. Some of us may be able to go on a vegetable or a fruit fast or no pleasant food fast or no meat fast. Go into the fast corporately according to your capacity. And remember, a fast is not something that is a religious regimen. It is more the spirit of the fast, that your heart and your mind and your body is consecrated to God to do what God will have us to do in this next transition as a church. And so if you consecrate yourself to, for example, a liquid fast, and sometimes if you're working and there are certain times that more energy is expended and you're weakened throughout this 1 month of fast, then by all means take something to strengthen yourself and then continue on with the fast. So we are proclaiming a fast, but it is not a regimented and similar fast for every one of us. We just encourage each one of you to seek the Lord throughout this month to fast and seek God in your capacity and in your ability. But we all need to do some fasting corporately together. Now the passage that the Lord spoke to me from was from the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. And I know that in a literal sense, it was talking to the Israelites and not to us directly. But sometimes God used these kind of scriptures to stir our hearts in some of the things that He wants to do. The passage that we are looking at is Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18 and 19. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18 and 19. And this is the word of the Lord to Tabernacle of Glory. It says here, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts," verse 19, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore love truth and peace." Now we have been pronouncing a blessing from this year, the blessings of the book of Numbers, where we say the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now we flow into this area in this month of May. Now in the context of the Israelites, the first month and the second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month, etc., all these are months that have relevance to their Jewish feast. It has relevance to their Jewish feast. And it does not directly refer to January, February, March, April, May, etc. The Jewish month is in a different order from our Gregorian calendar. But somehow this passage stood up as I prayed to the Lord and seek God in the transition that we are moving into by June the 2nd. And the Lord says that for us, we are taking the fourth month to be the fourth month, that is the month of April. The fifth month to be the fifth month in our Gregorian calendar, the month of May. Now, I repeat again, theologically and contextually, this is not what this passage is talking about. But this is a word that the Lord brought forth to me as I waited upon the Lord. And the fast of the fourth month for Tabernacle of Glory has been individual fast that the Lord and His Spirit has been speaking to some of your lives. If you have been hearing the Spirit of the Lord in your devotional time, you would have heard the Lord spoke to you about individual fast and seeking the Lord throughout the past month of April, March and April. Now, as we come to the month of May, which we have instructed ahead of time to make sure that it's spoken out that by 1st of May that we begin our fast, and this proclamation of a fast will end, this fast of the 5th month of May will end on June the 2nd, on the day that we celebrate our 10th anniversary. So from the 1st of May, today is already the 5th, if you haven't started yet, it's still not too late. From the 1st of May until the 2nd of June, on a Sunday when we celebrate our 10th anniversary together, and we will be fasting. The fast will be broken in a feast on June the 2nd. From May 1st to June the 2nd, we proclaim a fast for Tabernacle of Glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fast of the fifth month. There will be another fast on the seventh month. Now the seventh month in our calendar is the month of July. And on July, we are having the official opening of our church. Y'all remember that?
We also have a different invitation card for that. It will be blue color. It's coming out later. We didn't want to confuse you, so we give this orangey one out first. Because this is on June the 2nd. The other is on July 14th, correct? On July 14th. Now between July the 7th and July the 14th will be our second proclamation fast. It will be a 1 week fast. That we will proclaim and remind you on July the 7th. And that fast of the 7th month will be only for 1 week. This fast that we proclaim is for 1 month. The second fast that we're going to proclaim on July the 7th will be for 1 week. These are the instructions of the Lord. Sometimes there are things that take place in the spiritual world that we know nothing of. The Lord doesn't reveal 100% of all that He is doing. We know in part, we understand in part. The most important thing for us is to hear the Word of God and obey Him. There are many things that are taking place in the spirit world. And if some of us have received some revelations from the Lord, they are probably just a small percentage of some of the things that is taking place for this church here. And somehow God from heaven has seen it necessary that His people fast and seek Him. Because this church is an international church. It will affect the world, and somehow some of the things that are taking place this year, the beginning of glory and grace, is so important that God is proclaiming a fast. And this is with a "Thus saith the Lord." That there will be a fast of 1 month from May the 1st to June the 2nd. And there will be another fast from July the 7th to July the 14th. And the fast of the 7th month will end on July the 14th. With a love feast again. Now it's interesting here that it says that you shall celebrate it with joy and gladness. So it will end with also a love feast. Then there will be another third proclamation this year of a public fast on the 10th month, which will be the month of October. Now the Lord has spoken to me that some things will be taking place first before that proclamation. So the 10th month, in the month of October, there will be a 3-day fast that we proclaim that will end on a Sunday. It will begin on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and will end on a Sunday. And we will let you know the exact dates in October when we come nearer to those days. But for now, in obedience to the Lord's instruction, we proclaim the fast of the 5th month. 4th month is over, which is an individual fast that the Lord has spoken. The fast of the 5th month is the one for us in Tabernacle of Glory. The word of the Lord is, it is a 1-month-long fast. It is a fast which every one of us can participate according to your capacity. And in whatever way you could participate in this fast together, let's participate together. And that this fast that we proclaim will end on June the 2nd with a love feast. Now, what are the areas that we are fasting about, and what are some of the things that we want to proclaim in regard to this fast? There are many types of fasts in the Old Testament. There are many reasons why the people fasted. And of the many, many reasons, the Lord has brought out 5 corporate fasts in the Bible. There are 5 corporate fasts that the Lord has brought forth in the Bible. And the five corporate fasts that he wants us to do, there are five reasons for this fast that we are moving into in this month of May. And so we'll be sharing two of those points in this first service, and the other three points in the second service. If you're not going to be present, you can get hold of a tape or ask someone what the other three points are. Contact them later. But there are these reasons for this corporate fast, and it's a very important time that we seek the Lord together. We are going into the most important transition the Tabernacle of Glory has ever entered into. When we succeed in doing all those things that God wants us to do in 1996, all the rest of 97, 98, 99 onwards will just be a flow. So this is the most important transition ever. I remember in the early days when we first moved into this premise here, it was an important transition. We transited from moving from hotel to hotel to a more permanent place here. And we remember after the first week or so after we moved in, the Lord instructed to proclaim also a fast. And since then, we have moved into different dimensions since we were located in this place. But now that we are going to uproot ourselves from this physical building and plant ourselves on a different section of the city, there are certain dimensions that we are entering into. In fact, some of the things that the Lord will do is so far beyond our thinking and imagination. You would never even conceive the amount of blessings that God has in store for every one of you. Not only will God be sending 4 or 5 ministers all over the world from our next premises, and helping us start churches all over the world from our next premises, but God will be raising many businessmen and launching them forth from the church too. There will be tremendous blessings. Remember, this decade is the decade of Isaiah 60. And we are transiting and entering into this powerful decade. We will no more be a church that is like Isaiah 59. It will be a church that will be so full of blessings that all around will be like a lighthouse, not shining just over a little strait or a little sea, but a lighthouse that shines throughout the world. A powerful light beam that God will release. Therefore, we need to fast, to pray, and to seek God. And as we look at two of those reasons for fasting, we want to show forth that in the Bible, that some of the people who achieve much in the Bible have understood that even though we are in the time of grace and everything is completed in Christ, yet we need to obey God in fasting and prayer as He instructs. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just one tiny phrase from the Apostle Paul's life. None of us can deny that the Apostle Paul reached to thousands, maybe even millions of people in his day. Of course, by today he has reached millions of people through his writing. His ministry touched and shook nations, cities. And we know that every work is completed in Christ. All things are finished in Christ. But yet the bringing forth of them has required a lot of work and effort from the Apostle Paul's life. Not efforts by his own strength, but efforts inspired and ordained by the Holy Spirit. Now among some of the things that he mentioned about from verse 23 to verse 28, if an ordinary Christian were to just go through 1% of what Paul goes through, they would have find it tough. But Paul went through a lot of things that many Christians have never even imagined was possible to survive and to overcome. But among some of those things, he tells us in verse 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, sometimes he went without just to do God's work. Now all those things that are spoken about Paul in verse 27 are not things that he suffered because of poverty, are things that he sacrificed because he loved the Lord and he wants to see the kingdom of God extended and every soul won to Jesus. Hallelujah. And every soul preached to in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this. We have the responsibility to announce the gospel. Say, we have the responsibility to announce the gospel. Many times, some of us have seen that as a responsibility to win the lost. Now, the responsibility to win the lost and the responsibility to announce the gospel is different. Because winning the lost is the work of the Holy Spirit. Only He can work in the hearts of, and minds of men to bring them and to give them the born-again experience. Jesus says, you know not how the Spirit of God moves. He comes and He goes. And such is the way He moves in one who is born again. In John chapter 3, He talks to Nicodemus in that manner. Winning the lost is God's job. But our job is to tell the story of Jesus. Amen. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, it be my theme in glory, of Jesus and His love. Amen. Let's just sing that together. Maybe the pianist will give me a G. Thank you. Just run up and give me a G or something. Praise God. Whoever him. Oh, telling the story of Jesus is so important. Can somebody give me a G? Thank you. Having a breakfast, is it? Praise God. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. I believe that many of us will want to win more people to Jesus. Amen? Isn't that the desire of every one of our hearts? But remember this, winning people to Jesus is done on your knees. You give birth to them. You pray for their soul. You fight and tear down, fight the fight of faith and tear down the devil's hold over their lives in your prayer. But the main job that you just need to do is just tell the story of Jesus. Amen? Praise God. I don't know all the lines, but just stand up for a moment. And I love to tell the story. Jesus and His love. Jesus and His love. Have you told someone about Jesus? No, we're not asking you to make them say the sinner's prayer, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not asking you to force someone to be converted, because it's a free choice. But all that Jesus is asking is, do you love Him enough to just talk about Him? To share what He has done for you? Whether people accept what you share to them is not important. That is not your job. That is God's job to convert them. But your job is that your heart is so full of love for Jesus that you just talk about Him. Yes, even if you talk about Jesus to your loved ones who are already born again, that's good. You talk about Jesus, you can encourage them. Or you talk about Jesus to all those that are around you. And along the way you'll find that some do not know Him, and they hear the same story of Jesus. And who knows, they may be born again. Paul says, I desire to know nothing among you but Christ crucified. That's all he wants to know. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story you've been steaming glory of Jesus and His love. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. You may be seated. Forgot part of that tune, but you get a point. All God is asking us is to tell the story of Jesus. To talk about Jesus in your family, fathers and mothers, talk about Jesus in your home. Talk about Jesus to your husbands and to your wives. Talk about Jesus to your loved ones. And you'll find that it becomes a habit to talk about Jesus even to unsafe ones. Remember, your job is not to save them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to just talk about Jesus. You don't have to persuade, you don't have to convict. That belongs to the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is talk about Jesus. Amen. Have you talked about Jesus to somebody? You say, but Pastor, all my friends are Christians. Well, talk about Jesus to them. Who knows, they need encouragement. Amen. Talk about Jesus to someone throughout the week. Amen. Say you'll talk about Jesus. Say I'll talk about Jesus to somebody throughout this week. Amen. Now Paul, having gone through many things and he announced the gospel to several places, he says that he has experienced a lot of things, sleeplessness, hunger and thirst. But the phrase that I want to emphasize is this, he says, in fastings often. Now all the other phrases are important. Some people think that you can win the world to Jesus by just sitting on a chair and becoming a couch potato. Christian couch potatoes do nothing. It takes effort. Not by our strength, but by the inspiration of the Spirit of God within us. Paul says that he really pushed himself, sleeplessness often. Many times he worked through the night so that he could get somebody to hear the gospel, to hear about Jesus, How much effort are you and I making to make sure somebody hears about Jesus? Or do we just share Jesus in our spare time? Is Jesus just a spare tire in your car? Or the steering wheel in your car? Hold your place in the book of 2 Corinthians 11 and look over the book of Acts chapter 20. Paul says in Acts 20 verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Would you agree with me that the Apostle Paul take great effort to talk about Jesus? If you agree with that, say amen. So our job is to talk about Jesus. And sometimes if most of your friends are Christians around, you could encourage Christians by talking about Jesus. No, Christians talk about everything. They can talk about politics, they can talk about the weather, they can talk about things happening, they can criticize, they can do this and that. Talk about Jesus to somebody. Talk about Jesus, don't talk about people. Talk about Jesus. Say, "I'll talk about Jesus." Now, part of the care groups, what you need to do is not just open your house and wait for people to come. You should love Jesus so much that sometimes when some of them have been coming for 1 or 2 weeks and they are no more coming, if you love them and you say, "How are you getting on? Are you still in love with Jesus? Are you discouraged? Are you down? Do you need some attention? Do you need some encouragement?" It takes effort to encourage people. It takes effort to reach out to people. Talk about Jesus to those who are born again. Talk about Jesus to those who are not born again. Our job is to talk about Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do the other work. The Holy Spirit will bring faith back to those who are discouraged. The Holy Spirit will bring encouragement back to those who are discouraged. The Holy Spirit will bring inspiration back to those who have lost their hope and their inspiration. Paul went to great effort to talk about Jesus. And unless God can find a man or woman today who would go to great lengths to announce Jesus, you would announce Jesus and talk about Jesus wherever you are, in the highways and in the byways, in the bushes and in the deserts, in the gardens and in the stony ground, on the highlands and in the lowlands, in the valleys, on the mountains, in high places, in low places, on the streets and in the homes. Just announce about Jesus through your life. And something will happen. God will work the other things out. Perhaps the reason why not many people are coming to Jesus is they're not seeing enough of Jesus in us. If they could see more of Jesus in our lives, more of those who are today out there who on Sunday do not know the Lord, where they should be attending some place to worship God, if they could see more of Jesus in our lives, they'd be right here sitting with you, loving and worshiping Jesus. So talk about Jesus wherever you are. So Paul goes to great lengths to talk about Jesus. And in chapter 11, among some of those things, it says, in fastings often. Now, we know that Paul prayed when people are about to be lost and Christians are about to be backslidden. Like in the book of Galatians, the Galatians were being disturbed and wrong doctrine was going to them. Wrong teaching, wrong thinking, and wrong words were being spoken, and they were backsliding. Paul says in Galatians 4:19, "I travail for you again." See, we must have a lot of stamina to press on in Jesus, to do those things that Jesus would have for our lives. If 1% of those things that happened to Paul were to happen to many Christians today, they may not be around in any church anymore. Let me tell you, Paul loved Jesus. He was committed to live for Jesus. and to extend the kingdom of God. And of all the many things he says, in fastings often. How often? Now here's the Apostle Paul, who reached out to nearly all of the known world in his time. He says in fastings often. That means that there was a great effort. In many cities, he would have fasted for a city. He would have fasted for a nation, fasted for a province. And that's why we need to fast to do God's work. 2 years ago, I was fellowshipping with a pastor from a tiny little island, and he was struggling to preach the gospel for many, many years. He has been there for many years. Seminary trained, fully equipped, educated, everything in a natural that you could think of, he would have. But there was no breakthrough. And then he heard some teaching on fasting. And he says, I tried everything the seminary has taught me, but I've never fasted. And he started fasting. Within 1 year, everything changed. Hallelujah. Within 1 year, everything changed. Now, I didn't say it changed instantly. This is not a shortcut. But this is our commitment to God. You express through fasting. There are many times that there are forces that we know not of that we battle to fasting. Now there are 5 points from fasting and we will share 2. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Now there are more than 5 points for fasting, for corporate fasting. We're not talking about individual fasting. We have teachings on individual fasting, how to fast. We have a fasting series and you can hear more on that. But we're talking about corporate fast together. And there are more than 5 corporate fasts in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit impressed 5 important ones in this fast that we proclaim in May. And that's what we're going to touch on. In Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. He says in verse 6. 6 and 7 and 8. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Now this first reason to fast is to break the chains of darkness. That's our first reason to fast. Not the chains of darkness over our lives. If there are any, of course they should be broken. But the chains of darkness over other lives. Amen. You are not fasting for yourself. Many of us have fasted for ourselves. You are fasting for the city of Kuala Lumpur, PJ, Subang Jaya, Klang, and the whole of the Klang Valley. Because we are planted here in this city as a church located geographically in Kuala Lumpur, in Malaysia. It is our responsibility to fast for our nation. Amen. And we are a city church, a community church, to reach out to every community, every strata of society, to rich and poor, lonely or family. And part of the task that God has for us is to reach out to this city. And as we move into the next new premises, we will literally be physically the largest church building we ever in this nation. It is literally the largest church building. Of course, by the time you reach Vision Heights, let me share a little of my inner thoughts. many of the things that are to take place in this country in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, are not going to take place by accident. They have to take place now as seed in the heart of God's people. Amen. Some of the things that are going to take place in your life doesn't take place tomorrow. Sometimes it takes 10 years for a durian tree to grow. You start as a seed. And let me tell you, I know of no other ministry or church in this country that is planning for any auditorium that is size of 20,000. Although we have such a responsibility from God, let me tell you, unless God's people start planning now, we may have no place to meet in 20 years' time or 10 years' time. Amen. If we don't have the seed of God in our hearts now, we cannot reach it. Many of God's churches and people are satisfied where they are. We could be satisfied where we are. We say, I mean, we got a good church going. I mean, we don't have to do anything. I mean, if we keep to where we are, we will have our funds accumulate more and more and more and become a very rich church with just about 1,000 people. We don't have to try to expand further. Or build building, just remain where you are. Just be satisfied. Let me tell you, the places that we need in the tomorrows to come are planned and conceived in the today that we are living in. And that is why it is an awesome responsibility. As a church, as we inherit from God, I believe that it is a gift from God. Amen. It is not by our own efforts or intelligence or planning or strategy that we could achieve anything in God. But it is a gift of God that we just flow into. That God has ordained the tabernacle of glory move into the largest building in this nation. By June the 2nd, it is a gift of God. Shall we take the gift of God lightly or lovingly with great depth and gratitude? Amen. We should receive it with great appreciation in our heart. And that is why we need to fast and pray to show our appreciation for God. And to be able to take on like Solomon, taking over, inheriting the kingdom of Israel. Solomon said, oh Lord, I'm young and I'm small and I'm not as knowledgeable. Oh God, help! And he sought God and God blessed him. In the same way, we need to come on our knees and come with tears in our eyes and come with fasting on our stomachs and come with Jesus on our hearts and minds. And say, oh God, as a church we receive this gift, understanding that we have a responsibility to this city and to this nation. Amen. We are taking over responsibility for leadership in this city and in this nation. And if you and I, in our personal way, were to inherit or take another more responsible job or another bigger job, you and I would take it prayerfully, correct? I mean, if God promoted you and bring you from one level to another, you and I would take it with great reverence and awe. Now we must understand, don't take lightly. June the 2nd, we are moving in. Don't take it lightly. Let's take it graciously, appreciatively, lovingly, and understand that we are also taking and assuming responsibility for our city and for our nation. That is why we need to fast and pray to break the chains of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's cross-reference to the book of Matthew in the New Testament.
Matthew chapter 17. The disciples of Jesus have been given power and authority over all sickness and disease in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. Now in Matthew chapter 17, the background of the story was that Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James and John, were on the Mount of Transfiguration where they saw Jesus transfigured. And at the end of 3 days, they came down, there were 3 days, no? Not necessary. Okay. At the end of that time, they came down. Now in Matthew chapter 17, the background of the story was that Jesus and three of his disciples, Peter, James and John, were on the Mount of Transfiguration where they saw Jesus transfigured. And at the end of 3 days, they came down, there were 3 days, no? Not necessary. Okay. At the end of that time, they came down and they saw his other disciples dealing with a demon-possessed boy. And his father was there. And they could not cast out the demon. Now we realize that Jesus already has given them authority over the demon. The authority was already given, transmitted, delegated. They were anointed to cast out devils and to heal the sick. But the demon was not cast out and the sick were not healed yet. Finally, Jesus did it for them. And then Jesus, in verse 18, let's read verse 18, Matthew 17, verse 18. Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" Now the why is not because they had not received spiritual impartation. Their ability was given, otherwise Jesus was lying, or the word of God was lying. In Matthew 10 verse 1 that say that he gave them authority and power over demons and over sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus doesn't lie. The word of God doesn't lie. So something is wrong here. They say, we cannot cast out. Why couldn't we? They had the what, but they didn't know the how. And that's what many Christians face. They have the what. They have the ought, what they ought to be. And they have some knowledge of what they have. But how to bring it forth was the problem. It says here, Jesus answered in verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Well, he gave one reason. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then in verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now Jesus mentioned two things. Number one, what Jesus was saying, you need to have faith. The opposite of unbelief. The cure for unbelief is faith. You need to have faith. Number two, Jesus said, this kind, and you know the word this kind. The word this kind refers to the demon. And I could paraphrase it this way. Jesus was saying, this type of demon does not go out except by fasting and prayer. I repeat that word again so that it will sink in with deep understanding. Jesus was saying, this kind, this type of demon, this particular category of demon. See, I'm not adding to the scriptures, I'm just explaining it, rephrasing it so that it strikes our mind clearly. This particular category of demon does not go. Do you see the word does not go there? Is there in the scriptures? Except I shout it out, that's all. I didn't add to the scriptures, I only shout it out.
does not go. That means they will not go. Except by fasting and prayer. Brethren, there are some demon forces that you cannot drive out. There are some Canaanites, Hittites, Jebusites sitting in your promised land that cannot be removed except by fasting and prayer. Prayer alone was not enough. And if you have faith and not have doubt, and it doesn't move, you will go straight into fasting and not just quit. Don't quit. You go on. There are some areas in some of our personal lives, maybe in areas where you cannot overcome a bad habit or consistent problem or thing that you're struggling throughout your entire life, your secret sin. Some type of demon cannot be overcome except by fasting and prayer. I don't think that these type of demons are in the majority. I believe there are only a certain number of them, a certain type of category. Some of them are familiar spirits, some of them are wicked rulers of the darkness of this age. Some are wicked spirits in high places, like the one that Daniel faced, the prince of Persia. That nothing affected that fellow until Daniel fasted. Let's wake up to the fact that if all the Christians in Kuala Lumpur have fasted, would this city have been won to Jesus? Who knows, by 1996? Who knows, within the next year or two? This whole nation would have been shaken to the core. If some Christians have understood what Jesus was saying, it is not because the word is not true. It is not because Jesus cannot heal. It is not because Jesus cannot cast out demons. It is not because Jesus cannot open blind eyes. It is not because Jesus cannot free a whole city or community. It is because there are some types of demons that have to be driven out by fasting and prayer. Remember this. It's a very simple thing for God to give billions and millions of dollars to each one of us. Although we announced that, hey, you know, fast and pray for all the finances to come in. Finances come in as a side effect when you have overcome demon forces. Amen. God doesn't have to send money down. He has already sent all the money He wants to send to you in Jesus when He died on the cross. All you have to do is defeat the Canaanites. God gave you the land of Canaan. He declared it in Christ, it is yours. But you must drive out the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites. How do you drive them out? Not the Old Testament style, please. Not with flesh and blood, but on your knees in fasting. First reason to fast, to tear down the spiritual force, to so paralyze and cripple their work. Not we do it, but to enforce what Jesus has done on the cross upon their lives. For some type of demons will not budge except by fasting and prayer. Planting a church, building a new work, is not just organization, intelligence, and administration or human ability. It takes the Spirit of God to drive out demon forces. And we need to do it, fasting and prayer. First reason to fast. A fast to break the chain over people's lives. Second reason to fast and pray. It's a fast for wisdom. In the book of Daniel, see, when you receive wisdom, you receive prosperity. You receive all that God has for your life. It is never a lack of finances, it's a lack of ideas. What we need is the wisdom of God. How to receive it. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, although there were only about four of them, yet it was a corporate fast, because that was the only church that they had in Babylonia at that time. A small little care group. In Daniel chapter 2, in verse 14, then with counsel and wisdom Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, and among them was Daniel. And he asked for time to seek God. And verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know, if you have a problem in your life or in your business or in any area, you know what the real problem is? The real problem is not the problem, because probably somebody else has the same problems you have and they are solving it. Somewhere on this planet Earth, somebody somewhere is probably having the same problem you have and they are solving it. So the real problem is not the problem. The real problem is you don't have the key to unlock that problem. You don't have a solution to that problem. And solutions come from the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the ability of God. So they prayed for God's revelation. And Daniel's life is a life where he learned to fast for revelation, for wisdom from God. This is not his first time. There records also a personal fast in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, in verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So he was fasting for 21 days to understand this prophecy that God has for his life and for the nation of Israel. And I like the answer that Gabriel gave him in verse 12. The first day that you fasted, God sent Michael to answer. Daniel didn't know anything about it for 21 days. Now, don't ever get discouraged when you are praying and fasting and you don't see things moving yet. From the first day that you set your heart to fast, something is already happening. From the first day, it may take 21 days for the angel to manifest to you. From the first day, it can be given to you. Already the spiritual realm be unfolded. Now there was also a time in Jehoshaphat the king when they were surrounded by enemies, and this is only one of many stories in the king. They didn't know what to do. So what did they do? They fasted. They had a corporate fast, and when they fasted, the Lord said, "The battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord." And the Lord instructed them to send musicians ahead of them. And as they sent musicians ahead instead of soldiers, all the enemies were destroyed. You see, the fasting brought a revelation. Of course, all fasting brings deliverance and healing. But the fact is that when they fasted, God revealed what to do. If they had not fasted, there would have been no revelation. And where there is no revelation, there is no solution. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse 3, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah," just as we have proclaimed a fast. "And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord to fast and pray." In verse 14, wisdom started coming. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah." You see, when we begin to fast, God began to bring forth the solution. Sometimes through people whom you never realize, God's anointing come upon some people. God starts speaking to them through angels, through dreams, through visions. And they begin to find their place in God. And where every brick began to find its place, it becomes a mighty army in God. When we fast and pray, the Spirit of the Lord will come on some people. And they will rise up like Caleb and Joshua. And they will say, "Hey, I know what God wants me to do. This is a word," the Lord says, "all over this city, all over this land. All you and I have to do is to seek God and fast. And whatever is necessary in the move of God, God's anointing will come forth among His people." "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, and the midst of the congregation. And he said, 'Listen, all of you.'" And here he says, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is the Lord." The problem is not yours, it is the Lord. If it's the Lord's will, it will be done. What must you and I do? Humble yourselves before God in fasting and prayer. Now we have realized that in ourselves, and just within our church, we have already done, the church as a whole has done a lot in bringing forth Vision Heights. That's a tremendous achievement. And we know that if every one of us were to stretch some more, it will be an overstretch on each one of you if we were to say that we could raise funds just from this church alone in order to do the project that God has in moving. We realize the ability of each one. So we know that God will raise up help from all over. But you and I need to do one thing. Do our best and then fast and pray together. Amen. Unitedly, as we do our best and bring our five loaves and two fishes, you and I will see a miracle. I believe in miracles. God is still, let me remind you that God still works miracles. Yes, He works miracles of healing. He works miracles of financial breakthrough. Hallelujah. We don't just depend on natural means. If we ever depend just on natural areas and calculate our natural areas, let me tell you, we will never move. But because we hear the Lord, word of the Lord that says now is the time. And when God tells you to do something, you can depend on His supernatural help. Amen. But part of our dependence on Him is learning how to draw on His grace through fasting and prayer. And I believe that supernatural help and supernatural miracles have come forth. I see them in the Spirit. It is there. It's all there. Done. But you and I need to show our obedience and our love for God to fasting. Let me tell you, on June the 2nd, we are going to be in our new place and we're going to stand there with all of you there, and we're going to say, it is a miracle. Amen? It is a miracle. It is not going to be just an ordinary circumstantial working. It is going to take a supernatural miracle. And it has already begun. It is just that God commissioned us to fast for its full completion. Amen. We believe in miracles. If you believe in miracles, say amen. Amen. If we ever lose the faith for miracles, we are no different from the non-Christian. Isn't that right? If we just depend on our ability, what difference is there between you and a non-Christian? If we just depend on human ability to build a building project, non-Christians also can do building projects, correct? What difference is there between us and the unbeliever? But it's because we depend on the Lord. We depend on supernatural laws and spiritual laws. And we depend on the miraculous working power of God, that as we enter the promised land, it will be a difference. We will all know that it is not a work of man, but it was a work of God and God's grace. You and I alone can never do it, but it's the gift of God and His supernatural working. Amen. Second reason to fast is for His wisdom and revelation. And He will reveal what we need to do. You know, sometimes when you stand on one end and you can't see the other end, all you have to do is just see the next step. Isn't that right? If suddenly we switch off all the lights in this room and you have to move from your seat to the door, what do you need to do? You don't have to see the door. You just have to feel your way one step at a time. Amen? And that's the way miracles take place. You just have to see the next step. And if you can take it one step at a time, when you finish it and you look back, you say, oh my God, how did this get done? It was done through the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's why we need to fast, to make sure we hear God correctly, to do everything one step at a time. You may not see the door, and all around you could be darkness, but you could feel your way one step at a time. And you will know, how will you get out of this place if everything is dark? Two things. You feel your way one step at a time, making sure you don't knock things over. And you have a general sense of direction. Now that general sense of direction is the vision that God has given. We know the general vision and direction God has given. All we have to do is take that one step at a time and do whatever little you and I can do and watch the hand of God moving. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for your call and your destiny. Father, we don't take the call that you have for Tabernacle of Glory lightly. We take it, Lord, with awe and reverence. And each one of us playing our role in Tabernacle of Glory know that you have chosen and called us to be a part of your plan. And Father, to show forth our love for you and our desire that your will and not our will be done. To show forth our desire to be willing and wanting to be perfectly obedient. We come as a church to fast and to seek your faith. That you may lead and guide us, O God, every step of the way. That we may be able to receive from you your wisdom. And we fast and pray not just for ourselves, but we fast and pray for this city that you call us to and this nation. We break the chains of darkness that hold back. Oh, Father God, there are thousands of other people that belong to this church that need to come in. Some of them backslided, need to come back. Some of them not born again, need to be born again. We know, Lord, those whom you have given to belong to this church. This church must reach to them. This church must care for them. This church must bring them in to the fold of the kingdom of God. And we fast and pray over their lives, to break the chains of darkness that will hold them. And Father God, we fast and pray for all those whom you gave the Tabernacle of Glory, and those who are here and those who are not here, and those who are not yet here and those who are not yet born again. We fast to break the chains of darkness over their lives. Oh, Father, we pray as we fast and pray that you send laborers across their path to announce the gospel. And we know that your angels are bringing them forth from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Your call has gone forth. Those that have been called to be a part of the ministries in this church, let it be so, O God. Father, we want to fulfill the perfect will of God for Tabernacle of Glory. We want everything in this church to be done in accordance to your perfect will. Every department, every ministry. We want every life of every member to be in the perfect will of God. And we fast corporately, Lord, and we humble ourselves before you to seek your face. We come to your throne of grace. We come, O God, to your mercy seat to draw grace from you. We thank you, Father God, to come before you, that you hear our prayer and you hear our cry. You hear our heart and you hear our desire. And we come to you, Lord, knowing that you are a wonderful Father. A Father who loves us more than we love ourselves. You desire, O God, more than we could desire for ourselves. Father, we love you. And we declare our love for you. As we fast and pray to seek your faith. We want to win the lost, O God. We want to announce the gospel in the highways and the byways, all over this land. O Father, whether the people are born again or not, we live to you. But we want to make sure that every citizen and every inhabitant in this nation hears the gospel. Father, there are some who have never heard. And there are some who have never heard the full story of the gospel. Maybe some have heard partially and they have not been turned on to you. Father, some have never heard. Some have heard only insufficient, a little bit, but not enough to bring them to you. Father, we pray that we may be responsible to announce the gospel to the length and breadth of this nation. That all may hear the wonderful story of Jesus Christ and how He died for us. Father God, anoint Your people. And right now, where every head is bowed and every eye closed, we ask that every one of you who want to be a part of this, fast stand wherever you are. Stand wherever you are. Stand wherever. You don't have to come forward, just stand wherever you are. We want to pray for an anointing of God to come upon your life, to enable us to fast together, to pray together. We are not just praying for ourselves. We are praying for this city that we are not responsible for. Praying for this nation that God has delegated a responsibility to us. And what a responsibility. And we are responsible also to encourage other churches, other ministries. Oh, we have a responsibility. That's what we are praying, fasting for. Open your arms to God wherever you are in a surrendered posture. Ori ke biriyanno ro bahashanno ro bahazende biriyanno ro mahonde ke biriyanno ro bahashanno. Oh God, young and old. Oh Lord, each one of us, according to our ability, we will seek Your face. I thank You for these whom You have given to the church, Lord. Oh Riki ba azon duhurra mahade ki beria chalamash. Lord, it is not something that You call us to do individually. We have to do this together, Lord, as a church. Reach this land and this nation, Lord. Ori kibiriya tolo mohozi kibiriya ndurra bahanze kibiriya ndurra bohanzandala bahate kibiriya salamahote kibiriya churubosha. O rabahazi kibiriya ndala bahasha kalaboriya tolo boche kalabosha. Ori adala bahati kibiriyan dolo mahansha adala bahati kibiriyan durubu sara ramoti kibiriyasa. Father God, we pray God for an anointing to come upon each life represented here, O God, and their families as they seek God and fast throughout this month of May, O God. As we humble ourselves as a church, O God, as we cry to You for our city and our nation, as we cry to You, O God, that You will enable us to reach this whole city, Lord, that we may win thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to You, that we may turn thousands upon thousands of people away from the power of sin to the power of righteousness. Lord, we want to do it as a church. We are in covenant with You, O God. This is Your church which You have died for. And Father, we come to You knowing, Lord, that in ourselves and by our own ability we cannot do it, O God. And we come to You, Lord, knowing, Lord, that You will enable us to do it. God, we proclaim, we have obeyed Your word. We have proclaimed a corporate fast. This is the fast that You have chosen. This is the fast, O God, that You have raised up Your people for. And Father, Your people are obedient. We ask for Your strength, Your anointing, and Your angels to specially strengthen each one, O God, for whatever area of fast that they would endure and they would achieve, O God, on behalf of the church and through the power of your Spirit, O God. We ask for a special anointing this month, O God. The whole month of May, let there be a special anointing on your people, O God, on every member, on every one of their ministries and every one of their businesses and every one of their jobs and professions. Let the man of May be a special man, O God, where they could send the river of your grace and your favor flow into their lives, O God, where all things flow together beautifully as we seek God corporately. Father, we are creating a river, an ocean, O God, so powerful, a tidal wave, a wind of your Spirit, as we fast and pray together, that will cover, Lord, the whole city, the whole Klang Valley, and the whole nation, O God. Let this wave, O God, sweep this nation. We fast and seek your face, O God, knowing, O God, that only through your grace, through your mercy, can we accomplish your will for our church. Take us as we are, Lord. We surrender ourselves afresh to you. Spirit, souls, and bodies we offer to you, holding nothing back, Lord, that we may do your work, O God, that your church here may do your perfect will. O Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Let your anointing and grace, Lord, come upon each life. Even now, Father God, we thank you. Your Spirit has stirred our hearts. Your Spirit has come upon us. And we have received your strength and power. And we know, O God, that the fast will be easy for your people because it is done through an anointing of your Holy Spirit. So set this seal be upon your people as they seek your face, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise and sing that song. Father, we declare that we love you. Amen. Father, we declare that we love you. It goes like in times like this or something like that, right? Okay. Father, we declare that we love you. The South African song. Father, we declare that we love you. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless you. Amen.